The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. No game tonight, so we're going to do a good old-fashioned episode of Hot Takes. Joining me tonight is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you doing? Can't lose today, so this is a good thing.
Yeah, you know, it's just been one of those days where I've just been kind of relaxing. I was supposed to finish mowing my lawn, but we've had like just constant thunder showers down here. Like a lot of my yard is like a little bit underwater. It's not like deep water, but
enough.
Hard to describe, but yeah, there's large pools of water in my yard. So, but yeah, so anyway, there's there's a lot to talk about with the Red Sox.
Absolutely. Why don't you take us away?
All right. So before we get to the hot takes that our Twitter followers submitted, and by the way, if you're on one of the streams right now, feel free to, you can put stuff into the stream. We may or may not react to it, but here's something I was talking about with the guys last night, and I wasn't on the show, but I was just kind of hanging out, and we chatted after. Three questions for you. Number one, we've kind of been talking about it. More likely than not, Alex Cora and Craig Breslow, they're not besties, right?
Absolutely not.
Okay. That's question number one. Question number two. Mm-hmm. Is Craig Breslow actively holding this Red Sox roster back by not supplementing it?
I think collectively it's not only Craig Breslow, but ownership as well. I mean, you can't accept the current product on the field right now and say that this is an adequate product. I mean, there are other teams that are already restocking, retooling, that have made trades, and we're way before the deadline and we're bleeding out. We've lost two people and we haven't found replacements for it. We found replacements, but not proper replacements. And that's the key word there, proper.
But you could call up Roman Anthony and just see if there would be a spark. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like he's better than Romy or Toro in the long run. And yeah, so stuff like that. And last question, because this is what I'm building to right here. What would Craig Breslow covet more? Limping into the playoffs as the second or third wild card, or not making the playoffs, but being allowed to fire Alex Cora?
So say that again. What would he rather do? Limp into the playoffs and then what? Nobody wants to limp into the playoffs.
Well, I'm just saying, if that's how right. we're going to make it, that's our path if we make it. Sure, we're not going to be 97 wins or anything.
No.
So there's limping into the playoffs, or do you think he'd rather not make the playoffs just so he can fire Alex Cora and just get him out of his life?
Option two. But if it ends up, you know, here's the thing. If option two is what becomes vocal and they hear that he's trying to do that, I hope he loses his job too, because then you're it's insubordination and then also intentionally trying to destroy a product that you're supposed to be continuing to make better. So yeah, Cora, I don't think he wants him here, but if it comes out into the light that he did what he did so that he could let go of Cora, he's also gone. I don't see how you can keep both of them next year. You know, one of them is gone.
That's exactly what I said the night before. And you know, which one do they want to keep? Because you would think Cora, because he's the chosen one, you know, ownership loves him. He was involved in one of the biggest scandals in the history of Major League Baseball, and they still brought him back because they like him that much. On the flip side, you can't just blow through another executive. I mean, who's going to want the job? So I think Breslow has a little bit of leverage there.
He does, but he's done a bang-up job. Like, just brutally bad. Just rough. He just doesn't get the role. And it's not his fault. He was promoted to a position that he was not prepared for. It was a premature promotion because nobody else really wanted it. He's done his job. He's tried to do it. But honestly, I don't know who's trying to play the role of Craig Breslow. I don't think it's really him. I don't think he's calling any of the shots. I really don't. I think he is
to a point now.
To a point, right? To a point. But not all of them.
Not all of them, right. So the Devers thing, he took the L on that. Cora gets 100%. His way. Cora got his way with that. He took the L on the Bregman thing. Cora and Kennedy got their way with that.
Yep.
So I think that's partially a source for them not really liking each other, Cora and Breslow. And I don't know how intense it really is.
Right.
Another thing, a couple observations before we get to the actual hot takes. Sure. Number one, nobody's asking Alex Cora his thoughts on the Roman Anthony situation. Like, the beat writers,
I found that to be very interesting.
They never ask him about that. He never weighs in.
Nope. But he's also dealing with a lot of other situations right now. I mean, the Rafi Devers one, at this point, I almost feel like they've been told, if you want to continue interviewing, you cannot ask this question. Because why is it that not one person has asked? Not one. I think that there's been a metaphorical gun put to all, or just like an imaginary gun held up to all of the writers and anybody. If you're going to be interviewing him, you have our blessing. You do not have permission to ask this question. If you do, you will not be in this room again.
I've heard Sean McAdam say at least twice, gun to my head, this is how it goes. I'm like, did he steal that from me?
Maybe.
I don't know. He can. I like that show. So whatever. He can steal my stuff. But anyway, so, and then my last observation, where's Sam Kennedy?
Dude,
not a peep.
Nothing. Is he alive?
I don't know what to think of that. Is it like, is he distancing himself from Alex Cora finally? And that's why I do believe to a larger degree than last year. I do think Breslow does. If Anthony comes up, he could make that move. And if he wanted to make an external move, he could do it. It wouldn't be one, you know, that would involve a lot of money. But if Abreu had to get shipped to address a need, I really think Breslow could make that move if he wanted to. But with the Sam Kennedy silence, I don't know what to think of that.
You and me both, T. There have been so many, you know, some of the questions that haven't been asked. It's interesting when fans and people that listen to the show, whether it be ours or other shows, will say the same thing. Like, how come no one's asked this? Where's this guy in this situation? How come this hasn't been brought up yet? Why is that happening still? Some of the questions have been asked by the people that, not to call us irrelevant, but some people don't give a crap what we think or what we say. But these questions still haven't been answered. It's June 5th. He's still not up yet. What are we doing? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. They don't give credentials to podcasts, any podcast. Section 10 has never even had credentials. You know, they've had access by other means. But yeah, I mean, if we could just be in the room and just ask one or two tough questions a night. I mean,
it'd be the last night you ask questions, T. I promise.
Well, I've never heard of them revoking credentials. I think the Red Sox are really good at, you know, reading the beat writers, the Riot Act, or in some way getting some sort of, is it complicity or mm-hmm. something like that? I think they're good at that. And so the beat writers don't ask the tough questions, but if something got leaked to someone, that's what I need. I just need something to get leaked out of that front office. You know, I want chaos here. And
we're almost at the point of chaos, and we haven't even gotten those questions. So it's almost, I feel like, preventing a complete blow up. I mean, just think about one of the most talked about things before the season started was the Rafael Devers leaving third base, refusing to become the first base, become the DH. He's been able to kind of nerf some of the conversation because he's been one of the best players in baseball, but the season hadn't even started yet. And that was a major topic. And you didn't have to be a Boston Red Sox fan to talk about it. It was bad. So there just has been too many things that have not gone in the right direction. They're doing everything they possibly can to prevent further blowback. That's literally what it is. I think it's damage control. They're trying really hard to get people to forget about what happened at the beginning of the year by, you know, just letting the season play out and prevent people from asking the important questions. I can't see it any other way.
I can't either. I can't. And, you know, we talk privately in the war room and, you know, I think a lot of people are down, and I haven't like officially polled everyone on, are the Red Sox absolutely out? And I think there would be some people in the war room, other hosts of the show, already at that point. I'm a half a step from it. You've got three big series here, and I'm just going to patiently wait out the next three, and then we'll see what happens. And you got two tough ones after that, Seattle and San Francisco, two teams well above 500. So we'll see, but regardless, if things do go sideways, it's still going to be an interesting summer. Does Jaron Duran get traded? Is there a slight chance Rafael Devers gets traded? He does not have 10-5 rights until, I think, at least next season, maybe the season after. So, right. You know, is somebody on the hot seat? You know, Alex Cora, maybe Breslow. I don't think anything could be ruled out, but yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, T. And it hurts to say it. If the hosts haven't said whether or not they're out, we're out. I mean, your next nine games, you have, I don't think maybe there's one, I think there's one day off in between the second and the third series between Tampa Bay and New York. You have three against New York, three against Tampa Bay, three against New York, three against Seattle. I think it's then it's the San Francisco Giants or the Rangers. I forget which one, but either way, I don't want to face San Francisco. I don't want to face the Rangers. I don't want to face the Yankees. You need to do better than 500 in the next nine games. You need to win five of the next nine games before you deal with San Francisco. I'm not looking at the calendar, but I think it's San Francisco or Texas, one of those two teams. And against the San Francisco Giants, there's a pretty good chance you could get swept there too. They're a pretty good team. They're figuring it out. They did what they were supposed to do during the offseason. We did some of the right things, but we're still also in this mindset and kind of just odd land where we're investing money in players that haven't pitched. They won't pitch for that year, but they're going to get paid for that year plus the next year. And then it hasn't panned out ever. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of these situations are up in the air. But Terry, I mean, dude, you'd need to sweep one of those next series. You would need to sweep the Yankees, Tampa Bay, the Yankees again, or Seattle in order for me to be a buyer. You would have to do that. You would.
If we get to the month of July and we're 500 on July 1st, that would be a miracle. Based on the schedule we have. I don't think we will be either. But no. if we are, I'll give the players at least credit for battling back. But we'll see. They need to rise to the occasion, you know. And some teams do that against the better teams. This team is not. But and we've only won three games in a row one time this season against.
That's awful. That's awful. That's terrible. And here's the thing. So I just looked it up while I was talking. So I apologize. It was not Texas. It was San Francisco. New York 3, Tampa 3, New York 3, Seattle 3, San Fran 3, LA 3, Toronto for 3, and then you got one in Cincinnati to round out the rest of June. You will be lucky to have a 500 month. You'll be lucky. Forget even if you start off the month right now 0-0. And so far this month we're what, 2-2? Cuz we should be 2-2 because we won the last game with Atlanta and then we lost the first two in LA against LA and then we won the last one. So we're 2-2 right now for the month of June. I could be wrong. If I am, I'm sorry. I'm pretty sure I'm right. So call it 0-0 right now. If you don't finish better than 500, you need to finish better than 500 for us to be serious. I love this team more than anything, but it pains me to say it. We're not there. And even if we were to go all the way, there's still four or five teams that could smoke us.
I'm just
no, all good.
Inquiring about something. All right. No, we're good now, though. I agree, but we'll see. I think it's going to be interesting, and we'll see what happens, but let's get into some of the submitted takes here. I definitely had one that I caught my eye. It's a four-part thing. I'm going to get to two of them. And it comes from Dave Curlin, who is from Westboro, Massachusetts. So local guy. All of this is from the Twitter profile, by the way. But he says one of the things is Henry will never let a president of baseball operations spend big money on a free agent ever again. From his perspective, other than Crochet, what does he have to show for his investments in Bregman, Story, Giolito, Buehler, and the rest? So here we go. I'll kick it off. Crochet is 25 years old. It's a six-year deal. It's big money, not massive money. I'm good with it. Bregman will hopefully come back around the All-Star break, pick up where he left off. Good chance he opts out. Nobody gets hurt. If he doesn't opt out, I don't even hate that because it's only two more years, and I don't see him going down Trevor Story Boulevard you know, with performance. I think he's going to game through the next couple of years. But if he opts out, that's $40 million off the books. And then Giolito, Buehler, those are very inconsequential deals, cheap money. Well, maybe I shouldn't say cheap, but they're so short term that they're not consequential. And Trevor Story, we just have to take the L on. I don't know what's going to happen with Breslow, but eventually we will have a smart, experienced baseball guy in there again that will make smart decisions. And, you know, in John Henry's lifetime, we will be a good team again. I'm supremely confident of that. You look at Breslow, no experience, like you said, Charlie. Hein Bloom, no experience at that level. And then you had three guys before that with a lot of experience. Maybe not Sherrington, but he came up through the organization and he knew how we think. He knew how we handled business and he kind of continued that and he won a championship. So you got to get an experienced guy in there again. I don't know who that would be, but you need to do it.
And here's the other thing too. Like people said, oh man, let's get Theo Epstein in there. People have kind of flirted with it. That's never going to happen. Theo Epstein will never be in that role ever again, because he will never be able to do what he did again. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. He's no longer just the smart guy. There are other people that have learned from what he did. On top of that, people have adapted. That's 20 years ago. Things have dramatically changed. It's not going to happen again. Now, to your points, regarding Crochet, arguably best pitcher, in the American League. Tarik Skubal, people can say that he's better. Either way, I think if you have either one of them, you should win 20 plus games with him as your starter alone out of your 30 starts. Story, we're taking the L. That sucks. Bregman did fine until he got injured. It was what it was. It wasn't his fault. Injuries happen. Giolito, that one sucked. It hurt last year. It hasn't gotten any better. Lately, the starts, as you know, Jim was talking about, have just been clunkers. It's not good. Buehler, I'm still not out on him. I hope he turns it up and he can go back to where he was. Guy still struck out Alex Verdugo to win the World Series in 2024, which makes me exponentially happy because Alex Verdugo sucks as a human being. you know, it's just one of those things where you look at it on paper, right? This is a business, right? This is a pay-to-play sport. The number one team, as far as the teams that have spent the most money, the Los Angeles Dodgers, they're currently in first. The number two team is the New York Mets. They're in first. The number three team is the New York Yankees. They're in first. The Phillies are in their fourth most, as far as spend goes. They're in second place, only to the Mets in their division. So there's a trend here. Fifth best team or fifth highest spend is the Toronto Blue Jays. They're in second place behind the New York Yankees. There's a trend, right? Now, there are some anomalies, right? Like the Detroit Tigers, they've got the 17th highest spend. The Cubbies are the 12th highest spend. You know, Houston Astros are seventh. The Giants, who have done really well, the Padres have done well. Those are ninth and 14th respectively. The top five teams could potentially be division leaders because they're spending the most money. Now, the Boston Red Sox, they're an anomaly for the wrong reasons. They're the 11th highest payroll, and they're borderline in the basement. Like Baltimore, for example, they're just a couple tiers below us. They're 15th as far as pay. We have money that we're paying that is not performing, or we have money that isn't able to be, perform at the full level. Like, you're not getting Devers both offensively and defensively. You're just getting him for his offense. Bregman, not playing right now, injured. Some of your relievers are injured, not performing. But here's the thing. You look at other teams, they're able to figure it out. The New York Yankees lost Gerrit Cole for the whole season. Giancarlo Stanton, not playing. DJ LeMahieu, shadow of his former self. A lot of players that they were relying on last year are no longer there. Gleyber Torres is tearing it up in Detroit. Javier Baez, who used to play for the Mets, found Jesus, and he's also playing like out of his damn mind, playing a new position. I think he's like center field now. So you can only say so much about the players and what you spend, right? If the Red Sox had gone out and said, you know what, we're going to make the trade for Crochet, we're going to get Bregman, we're gonna sign Max Fried. Dude, now you've spent some big money. Now you're probably flirting with second place in the division. Max Fried, before his last game in LA, was 7-0 with a 1.29 ERA, something like that. It was absolutely ridiculous. We don't have any of those guys. We don't have that offense, that prolific offense. You have a guy that allows one earned run over six plus innings and strikes out 12 and could possibly register the loss. That's not happening for other teams. That reminds me of Cliff Lee when he was in Cleveland, would allow one or two earned runs and would still get the loss, or he would get a no decision. It was like Jacob DeGrom, 29-30 starts, has a record of 9-7. That's infuriating. But that's kind of the case right here. So to that point, yeah, sure. Maybe you're going to say, as the owner, I'm never going to spend any money again. If you don't spend money, you don't win. You don't give your team the chance to be as competitive. There are 162 games in the season. The NFL has 17. You're looking at hockey, I think it's 82. Basketball's 82, half the season. You know, a tenth of the season or a ninth of the season, right? 17 times nine. I'm just quickly looking it up. Yeah, give or take, 9.5, right? So you need to spend more money. You've got to have reinforcements. You've got to have backups, and you don't have it. If your justification is, well, I spent a lot of money and it didn't work out, I'm never going to do it again, then sell the freaking team. This is clearly just a piece of your portfolio. You don't care enough. It sucks. It really does. But as the president of baseball operations, you have to tell your owner, listen, we need this and we need this. List your demands for what you need in order for your team to be successful. You know that injuries are going to be a part of the game. You know you're going to lose at least one or two people during the course of the year. Crap, it's June 5th and you've already lost two of your people. You're going to lose another one or two before July is done. That's just, it's the war of attrition. Injuries happen. It's a part of the game. If we only played 80 games, this wouldn't be an issue. I could justify you spending a fraction of the cost because there's a lesser probability that worse off teams have a chance to be lucky and get in. 162 games, luck is a part of the game too.
With John Henry, I'm going to give him a pass for this winter. I think he really gave them a lot of room to make improvements. But the price that he's paying is the way he's treated his executives before this. Because now you have the dysfunction and the circus that's going on. And so he's paying for it that way. And, you know, I think he did try to appease the fans. I think he did try to say, you know what, you know, what we've done hasn't been acceptable. Let's get back to winning. And he did that, you know, with the soccer team. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if the second part gets fixed in the near future.
Right.
I want to get to the second part of Dave's hot take as I.
Yeah. Do you want to read it?
It's part four.
Yeah. If it's going to be a 500 team, I'd rather watch the kids play and learn to figure it out. Trade Ref Snyder, Chapman, Bregman, Story, Wilson, and the rest for pitching, and play Anthony Duran and Abreu in the outfield. Meyer, Rafaela, Campbell, and Toro in the infield. Catcher, Narvaez, and see if they have what it takes to win in 2027. Do you want to go first?
Well, go ahead. You can go.
Sure. Cool. Go ahead and trade Ref Snyder. Go ahead and trade Chapman. Bregman, I don't know what you're expecting. You're just going to be liquid. You're just relieving yourself of that contract. You're not going to be getting a pick or a prospect for somebody that's getting $40 million a year on paper. Chapman has been kind of like the traded reliever over the past couple of years. He's been traded. He's won World Series. He knows how to get it done. Story, I don't think you're going to get anything for it. Ref Snyder is going to be a utility guy. You play Anthony Duran, Abreu in the outfield, Meyer, Rafaela, Campbell, and Toro in the infield. That is not a competitive team. You're not going to be a 500 team if you get rid of all those people. Thankfully, you decided to keep Devers. That was the only name you omitted from the entire team. But at that point, you've become the 1997 Florida Marlins or 2003 Florida Marlins, where you've won and sold everything off, but we haven't won yet. And here's the thing. If you trade proven talent for what are you going to get for Aroldis Chapman or Rob Ref Snyder? There is no guarantee replacement for players that are already performing in the majors. Rev Snyder knows he's never going to be an everyday guy. Chapman knows he's probably going to get traded. You know, that's one of the things. Story, I don't know what you're going to get for him. Wilson, I also don't know what you're going to get for him. You'll probably net a pick for Chapman. But then you're relying on all inexperienced rookie-level players. Like, the average age of the Boston Red Sox right now after Meyer came up, I don't know where it put us on the list of 30, but we're pretty young right now. You got Crochet in there for the rotation. You have a couple of the other relievers that are relatively young. We don't have any teenagers, but we have people that are pretty darn close to it. And if Anthony comes up, it's going to get even lower. And who leaves if he comes on, you know? So at that point, then you start to wonder, okay, cool. There was a play that happened a couple nights ago where a ball was hit off the wall in deep center field. And because the fielders didn't know the way that the field or the ball would hit or deflect off the wall, they weren't sure how to play it or run it. And that level of inexperience and not being able to harness and get those little things done will dramatically affect this team. You're also just at that point, you're going to be a 400, 450 team. You're just playing for like a good pick. And I don't want to reward a team for intentionally throwing a season. What the Houston Astros did was disgusting. They threw 3 years in a row to get Carlos Correa, Mark Appeal, and then I forget who the third one was. But the
Bregman was pretty high.
He was high, but he wasn't a first pick of the draft. I know Correa was number one. Mark Appel was another one. I forget who the third one was, but they got three in a row. The Nationals had Strasburg and Bryce Harper. Like, they were garbage. That's why they got the best pick each year. And so I don't want to reward a team for intentionally being bad. Like, if that's your product, nobody should be buying tickets to see the games. I wouldn't buy a ticket to go to Fenway Park to see a 12-1 loss to see the stadium. I'd rather do the tour.
Yeah, and I mean, part of the strategy is really the qualifying offers. I mean, that's how we got Roman Anthony in the E-Rod by giving
him the E-Rod qualifying one?
Yeah, so E-Rod said, no, we got a pick from the Diamondbacks. We get Anthony. And then not that it's going super well at the moment, but for Xander, we got Christian Campbell. He was the guy we picked in that spot. So
got it.
So those are real valuable as well. But so getting back to the hot take here, I wouldn't trade Rev Snyder. He's only making $1.5 million. And I just think his presence is too valuable. Chapman's got a 1.80 ERA right now, a whip a little bit below one. You're not going to get Cole Reagans like the Royals did when they traded him to the Rangers, but you could get something nice for Chapman. And, you know, if they do it, fine. You're going to get the constant scrubs from Worcester at that point because, you know, what else would you do? But yeah. And then the problem, though, and this is the reason why that stood out to me, is Alex Cora he's just got this phobia about his young lefty kids facing lefties. Like, Abreu just doesn't get the opportunity. What happened to Meyer for a couple of games there? He was benched because there was a lefty on the mound. And so the only lefty young guy that's been developed in the Alex Cora era was Jarren Duran. He's the only one who's had the opportunity to hit righties and lefties. And I think it was more out of necessity. That's the only reason he got that opportunity. So, and it has to make sense to me. And the thing that may influence Alex Cora is in his first year as manager of the Boston Red Sox, he had the perfect platoon at first base. He had Mitch Moreland and then mostly for the second half from mid-June on, he had Steve Pierce, and it was a perfect platoon. Moreland mashed righties, Pierce mashed lefties. They both had epic moments. Like, Moreland hit that home run in game four of the World Series that just put that game away. And then Steve Pierce buried the Dodgers in the final game of the World Series. And thank goodness, because David Price would have got the MVP for the World Series, and that would have been nauseating for some of us. But I don't know if Alex Cora is really the guy to manage the kids. He and Delfino and a couple of the other guys, they've been talking about it. I mean, 2018, a relatively veteran-laden roster. I mean, Mookie was young. Benny was young at that point. That team was a wagon, and he hasn't really done anything since then other than 2021. But
yeah, it's really disappointing. I mean, we're only going to go so far as this team is concerned. But the problem is you have no contingency for Bregman being gone. The fact that Bregman is gone, we're hoping that Tristan Casas wasn't going to be gone all year. He was going to take it a step further. You know, Sadon Rafaela kind of had a step back. Willie Abreu's been struggling a little bit. Trevor Story took the month of May, unfortunately, off. It feels like, you know, kind of had a hot series in Atlanta. But, you know, that's not something that we're going to be able to, you know, replicate on a consistent basis. We're struggling. And we're going to be losing more games by one run. It's going to be the story of the Boston Red Sox. We might actually set the record for the most one run losses. I think we're at 17 right now.
And we're only a third of the way through, a little bit over.
Dude,
that.
Could you imagine losing 51 games by one run? Can you imagine that for a second? That sucks.
That's why Cora's on the hot seat, because I mean, if you're losing that many one run games, leadership has to be a big component of that. Him right. not firing up his roster or making the slight adjustments needed to, you know, to get there.
Right. So I was kind of toying between a couple of hot takes, but I'm kind of torn which one I want to go with. This is one that I feel I understand where this person is coming from. So this one is coming to us from Tyler Descoteau Bouffard. So big_Bouff 1234. The Red Sox will never win another championship again under this ownership group. Once they sell the team to a person or group that isn't afraid to spend, the winning will come. So here's the thing. This is kind of like my point earlier, right? You're in a pay-to-play sport. There's 162 times to practice before the games that matter take place. The Red Sox will never win another championship again under this ownership group. I hope that's not the case. I really do feel like, you know, I said a couple years ago, forget about 24, forget about 25. It's going to be 26. And I thought, you know what, man, I was wrong. I was off by a year. And then everything happened. And then it's like, well, damn it. Here we are. 2025 is not going to be our year. It's going to be maybe 2026. But assume for a second that 2026 is the year. Who's going to have to leave the team in order for it to be the year? Jaron Duran? Willie Abreu? Aroldis Chapman's not coming back. Walker Buehler probably isn't going to come back. And then you think about it. What was the turning point for this ownership group? For me, I'm going to go back to it. I think the dumbest move that they've made in the last four or five years, is trading Chris Sale. That move alone, from your, quote, position of depth, you exponentially destroyed this team's chances of being a contender. Forget about Vaughn Grissom. Last year happens. This year now, you've got Garrett Crochet, Chris Sale, Walker Buehler, Giolito hopefully being better, Tanner Houck, I hope he comes back, he's healthy, and Brian Baio. three of those five guys should absolutely get you in the 15 to 20 win range. That's it. That's 45 wins. That means you just need to figure out 45 wins between your other two starters and maybe a couple of miracles. Because I think Crochet should win 20. The other two, 15 each. So 30, 20. You have to figure out another 40. That was the single turning point where the Red Sox went the wrong direction. Because Vaughn Grissom is not Mike Trout. Vaughn Grissom is not Fernando Tatis. Vaughn Grissom is sitting in the minors right now. We traded an all-star who then became the Cy Young Triple Crown winner, and we paid that team to do it. So this team hopefully will win another championship, but we hit the reset button in the ugliest way possible. Instead of it being 2026 being our year, we're probably looking at like 27 maybe. I really don't think we're going to be competitive for the next couple of years. And the Dodgers, the Mets, the Phillies, the Yankees, like, they're spending big money. If the Red Sox don't spend more money this offseason, we won't go. And I won't pick the Red Sox to win the American League East or be the American League pennant winners. The second part of this, Tyler, you wrote, once they sell the team to a person or group that isn't afraid to spend, the winning will come. Well, here's the thing. We have won in certain places. We haven't won in the more important ones, unfortunately. The other thing is, does it make sense to spend big money right now? The Dodgers are a wagon. They're going to be good for the next 7 to 10 years. So we might have the chance to get to the playoffs, make it to the World Series. But do you think, you know, here you go, Terry, gun to your head, that this is the team that can beat the Dodgers or the Giants or the Phillies or the Mets? Because I don't. I don't.
No, I mean, we're too imbalanced right now. We're just too Absolutely. Young and we're too green. If I don't think this is going to happen, but in order to really get there and to be like in the conversation, you need Meyer, Campbell, and Anthony to essentially be what Altuve, Correa, and Springer were with the Astros. You need them to become that core. Right. So we're a long ways off. The manager, I think, is a problem because he loves yeah. platooning and he's going to hold him back to a degree.
Right.
But and then you don't have the veterans. I mean, you kind of do. If you can get Bregman back by the All-Star break, that's a win, you know, based on the early prognosis. And I think Devers would be David Ortiz in the postseason. I think there would be similar moments if you could just get Devers into the postseason. I think he'd be very clutch. He's a big game guy, and I like that. But seeing how imbalanced this team is, the long drought, this is the longest World Series drought we'll have had if we don't make it this year. I mean, this century, it took, you were 4 years into it, you win one. 3 years after that, you win one. Then 6 years go by, you win another one. Then 5 years after that, you win one. So we're on seven now. This is the longest in the 21st right. century that we've had a drought. Here's another thing I've been thinking of. There's been lineage all the way through, all the way the first four championships. You had Big Poppy for three of them. You had Manny for a couple of them. You had John Lester for a couple of them. And then, you know, Mookie Betts and David Ortiz were in the same lineup for a little while. And then, and even Benintendi was in that lineup with David Ortiz in 2016. Then you had Devers come in, and he was a part of that championship team. If you trade Devers, and I'm not saying we will. I think it's an extreme long shot. But if you move on from Devers, the lineage is broken. Like, Devers connects – he connects all the way back to 04. There was always holdovers. And Bogarts technically did play in the 2013 World Series after that infamous interference call with Middlebrooks and Alan Craig.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Yeah, Bogaerts got to play third base for the rest of the series, but yeah, so that's another reason why I'm like, man, I don't know, but I do get why people think there could be a decades long curse here.
Could be longer. We'll see.
I mean, we've been so fortunate, and when they say Red Sox fans are spoiled, yeah, we are a little bit, but you know, it's a different game now than it was in the 90s. You know, developing homegrown guys really is. And, you know, you mentioned the Dodgers. Yeah, they're a wagon, but I don't want to build my team like that. I just don't. I wouldn't feel great about it. And so we'll see. I mean, they keep breaking their pitchers, and I think that's going to be a problem this year. We'll see.
Yeah, they've lost four. It's wild. Snell's out, Sasaki's out, Glasnow's out. Who am I missing? Oh, their guy from last year, the rookie, not Grove, Bobby Miller. I don't think he's out. He's in the minors. Their whole team is crazy. I mean, they have a starting rotation A and starting rotation B. Their B rotation is better than some starters from other teams now.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
I think we're good.
Cool, my friend. Well, that's going to do it for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.